Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey, welcome to church again, everybody. If this is your first time coming to The Rocks, you are a very special guest. Our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. We believe there's nobody perfect, and we gather here every Sunday to celebrate God's forgiveness, God's grace in our lives, and we want to let you know that that grace is available to you as well. So please join us every Sunday, 9 and 11 o'clock here at this place. And I also want to give a shout out to people listening online, watching online, YouTube, podcast. Thanks for joining in. Well, today is a special day. The month of March is a special month in the calendar of our church because this is our Kingdom Builders Month. What is Kingdom Builders? For those of you who've been here the last few weeks, you would know this. It is a faith-stretching exercise where we as a church family learn to trust God and practice radical generosity by committing to give towards the vision of our church. So this is our commitment to God as a church family. This is a 12-month commitment that we do in place of our tithing. We actually want to help you to be more generous, and since you plan your giving, priority percentage giving, you actually can become more generous instead of giving on the spur of the moment, and we're here for you for that. Now, if you're visiting, you come at the right time today because you get to witness how amazingly generous people who call this church are. All right? And in a few moments, as they come forward to give the commitment card at the end of this message, I want you to just sit back and relax and enjoy your time here with us. And I believe the principles that we're going to share is going to be really, really helpful for you today. All right? And even though on the front end, you're going to hear us talking about generosity, talking about money, but I want to guarantee you that we're not a church about money. Maybe you think, man, you know, this is what I thought. Church is always about money. And my suspicion is correct. No. I promise you, our church is not about money. This is the one time of the year where we do this. Come back next week. Prove me right, all right? From next week onwards until the end of the year, we're going to talk about sex the whole way. So please, bring your friends, a lot of them. Just kidding. But To start off, I just want to address the elephant in the room because otherwise you won't be able to concentrate. I understand that we live in a tough time right now. My personal friends, some of you, you lost your job this time of the year, even though you had that job for years, and this is not an easy time. And some of you might be thinking, some of you might have this conversation in your head, something like this. This is not a great time to talk about generosity, to talk about giving. I can't do this right now. I can't afford it. Being generous is really not my priority at the moment. I'm concentrating just paying my mortgage. I'm just concentrating to pay the bills. I'm just concentrating, focusing on keeping my business afloat. See, I understand that. I understand that. And right off the bat, I want to tell you that God doesn't want something from you. God doesn't want something from you. In fact, I really believe that God wants something for you because God wants to do something through you. See, the reason why God bless you is because so that God can bless others through you. So as long as the blessings keep flowing through you, God wants to keep the blessings flowing to you. So that's why, we know this. You can't give what you don't have, correct? You can't give what you don't have. You don't have love, you can't give love. If you can't have peace, if you don't have peace, you can't give peace. If you don't have money, you can't give money. So it is in God's interest, because God's plan is to bless the whole world, it is in God's interest to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. That's why I'm saying to you this morning, God doesn't want something from you, He wants something for you. And there's this great passage in the Bible, great verse actually in the New Testament that illustrates this really well, that no matter where you are, right, financially or otherwise, you can always trust, you can always count on the God who promised to keep you. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who used to be the opponent of Christianity, he wrote to the church in Philippi. In Philippians 4, verse 19, Paul said this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." I want you to pay attention to that. You know, when you hear a promise, in order for you to find out if that promise is good or not, you need to know who's making that promise, all right? Paul says, "My God personal. He's your God as well. He's my God as well. My God is making this promise, not Bob, your friend who owe you $50 and promised to pay you back but never did. See, you can count on God because it is the same God who spoke creation into being. This is the God who owns the whole earth and everything that is in it. My God will meet. It's not might meet, but He will meet. It's a confidence. It's an assurance. He will meet all your needs. Everything, not some of your needs, all your needs, your kids' braces, your mortgage, right? God will meet all of that. God will meet all your needs, Paul said, not all your greeds, right? All your need, God is going to meet. How is He going to meet it? I don't have money. How is God going to meet my need? Well, not according to what you have, not according to what you don't have, but God will meet all your needs according to what? According to the riches of His glory. So it doesn't matter what's in your bank account. It doesn't matter what's not in your bank account. God is able to meet all your needs because He owns everything. He has everything in this world, including you. You belong to Him as well. So that's why we're so excited about the Kingdom Builders program that we do every month of March in this place. And we call it Kingdom Builders. Some people ask me, why do you call it Kingdom Builders? Do you want to build your kingdom? Kingdom of the Rocks Church and all that? No. That's not it at all. You see, you have to understand, there are two types of people in this world, according to Jesus, right? One is the barn builders. And the other is the kingdom builders, right? Jesus gave this example, this illustration, this parable, how a certain rich man had this land that produced a lot of crops. He didn't know what to do with it. So he said this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is what Francis Chan was talking about. People who live for the red part of their life, not remembering eternity, right? Everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. The question is where. See, if you spend and concentrate on building barns, no matter how great those barns may look to you, but they're just barns, these are the first group of people, right? Barn builders. And then Jesus said, through this parable, you foolish person. Why is he called foolish? He's not like wicked or anything, just foolish. Why? Because he's only thinking about the red part. He's only thinking about this world, not knowing that this very night your life can be taken from you and you have nothing to show for it. You got nothing to show for it. I have a question for you. What's better than going to heaven? What's better than going to heaven? Is to go to heaven and take people with you, right? That's what's better than going to heaven. Your life is so much more than yourself, and you understand this, that the reason why God blessed you, the reason why God gave you the talents and everything is because God wants you to be a blessing. Your life is so much larger than yourself. So we all want to learn how we can be a kingdom builder in this place. And I can think of many examples, but there is one character in the Old Testament. His name is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an awesome kingdom builder. So we're going to learn from his story. Let me give you a little bit of background. Nehemiah lived around 450 BC before Christ, and he's a Jewish man who was taken captive into Persia. The people of Israel, even though they were promised by God, they were the chosen race, the chosen nation, the chosen people. They were to be example for many, many other nations. But through their own sin, through their own wickedness, God let their enemies to triumph over them. So they were taken over by the Egyptian, by the Babylonian, and now by the Persian. And the Persian had a different strategy. The Persians allow the people that they captured to return back to their homeland. So this is where we find the story of Nehemiah. He stayed in Persia, and then he heard this news, all right? These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hekaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, this is why I believe in the Bible, by the way. You know, it's so detailed, you can check the historicity of it. I was at the fortress of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. These are some of the people who returned. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem, and things are not looking well. They said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. The gates have been destroyed by fire. Listen to that. Not going well. Great trouble. Torn down. Disgrace. Destroyed. And when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days, I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Let me tell you how you can learn to become a kingdom builder. Number one, a kingdom builder feels God's heart and catches God's vision. Nehemiah listened to the bad report coming to him, and immediately his heart was crushed. You know why? Because he had high hope for the people of Israel. The broken city represents the broken people, the broken nation. And he knew, he heard the stories of God had an amazing plan for Israel. And he just couldn't accept it. His heart was totally crushed. He caught the vision of God to restore and repair this city for God. So my question to you this morning, if you want to learn to be a kingdom builder, is this. Do you catch God's vision? Do the things that break God's heart break your heart? And let me tell you what God's heart breaks for. God's heart breaks for people. God's heart breaks for lost people. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God had always been seeking people to be restored into relationship back with Him. That's why God sent Jesus down. And that's why we started this church, because people who are marginalized, people who couldn't imagine that God loved them, people who thought that forgiveness is beyond them, these are the people that God's heart is broken over. God's heart breaks for the people. You know, 14 years ago, a few young people got together and met because we caught God's vision. We caught God's vision for the people, and we understood one thing, that God loved the people. God loved our city. God loved our nation, and God is going to restore them, and He's going to do it through the church. But unfortunately, God's heart also breaks for the church. Do you know that? Because the church today, we don't represent Jesus well. We are more known for what we are against than what we are for. That's why the people who were broken, the people who were crushed, the people who were marginalized, the sinners, the tax collectors, people who love to hang around Jesus, they don't come to church anymore. Why? Because we don't love them as well as Jesus would have loved them. Because we don't care for them as much as Jesus would care for them. Because we don't accept them as much as Jesus would have accepted them. So that's why 14 years ago, can you imagine, young people, overseas students at that mostly, the Rock started because we caught God's vision to create a different kind of church. We felt like there weren't any churches in Perth at the time anyway that makes it easy and safe for people to explore who God is. You know, we have a lot of people who think they are far away from God, but we couldn't imagine inviting them to our church because we don't even like our church at the time. You know, we felt like, man, they're going to be judged in this church with the way they dress, with the way their hair color is and all that. So we don't feel comfortable. So we set out, myself and a bunch of young people, we set out to start a church that the unchurched people love to attend. So on the 7th of March, 2004, we gather together, and our heartbeat is for God's heart for the people, God's heart for the city, God's heart for the people who think they are far from God. And if that's you this morning, let me tell you, this is the church for you. If you think you are far from God, we started this church because of you. Do you know that? That's why we're here today. And you fast forward 14 years later, now we're here in 2018. God gave us this wonderful piece of land. You know how big our land here in this place? 14,000 square meters. This building only takes up less than 20% of our land. You know, the question is why? Why did God give us such a big land right in front of the busiest shopping center in the whole state? Carousel Shopping Center, 10 to 12 million visitors each year. Why did God give us the land here, not somewhere in Whoop Whoop? Right? I was told when I used the word Whoop Whoop, I'm a real Aussie. No, seriously, think about it, right? Think about it. Let me tell you, the reason why God gave us this land, God trusts us with this property, is because God has a big vision for the city of Canning. Do you believe me? That God loved the people of Canning. That God's heart is broken over broken relationship in this city, over kids who do drugs in this city. God's heart is broken for them. And that's why God placed us here, because God has a big vision for them. You know, our series is called Imagine this year. You know, Sid asked us to kick off this series to imagine things. So I started imagining, and these are some of what I imagine, all right? I imagine The Rocks to be a church people love to attend, not because we have the brightest lights, the biggest speakers, but because we have the biggest heart, the biggest love for anyone and everyone in our community, especially those who are far from God. I imagine The Rocks to be a church with a weekly attendance of 5,000 people and 500 authentic small groups. You know, the people in the city of Canning alone, there are 50,000 people. If 10% of them come to church, I'm telling you, we're going to have this church, a church whose people are encouraged and equipped to make a difference, not just inside the church, but to make a difference in their community, in our city. And I imagine with the lens that we have, we got to be beacon and light in our community. I imagine thousands of people from all walks of life, different colors, coming to this place, into our auditorium, into our new medical center that we're going to build. I don't know, our amphitheater where we can conduct outdoor weddings and performances and stuff. Coming to our lawn for movie nights, rock concerts, food trucks night, conferences, seminars, you know, Christians Against Poverty and whatnot, to teach them how they can live their life well, God's purpose for their life. And when they come here, guess what? They know that God loves them because we love them. They understand that God is for them because we are rooting for them. We're not against them. I imagine The Rocks being known in our community as a church that is for Canning, to be actively involved in the life of the city. We don't have to create a new initiative all the time. We can get plugged in, get involved in the life of the city. That if we are not here, we're going to be missed by this community. All right? And lastly, I imagine The Rocks being a catalyst in creating and training a network of churches who are serious about reaching their community for Jesus Christ in Western Australia and beyond. Let me tell you, we are already doing that. Pastor Mike is being requested by churches all over the state to train them in management, in worship set, and in all kinds of stuff. You know, we are being a blessing, not just for our people, for our city, but we are being a blessing for our state. And that's why we have to be relentless in pursuing this vision for us to be a church that is different from any other churches. You know, we can't get distracted. We can't allow ourselves to be selfish. We can't allow this church to be just for the Christians only. You know, we can't afford that, you know, because if we did, let me tell you, if we stop building a church that is safe for people to come to and bring their friends, if we stop, you know, sourcing and funding the vision of being a church that is a blessing to the community, that is based on love, if we stop doing that, then the future leaders of our church, the future pastors of this church, are not going to meet Jesus. And our church, like many other churches, will not last its founders. It's going to stop at our generation. And we can't have that, right? I had the privilege 10 years ago to baptize Chloe Chong. She was 14 in this photo. And that's Mike. Look how skinny he is. It's amazing. And I still didn't have any hair. So I had the privilege of baptizing Chloe 10 years ago in 2008. But it was not only me who had the privilege of sowing into Chloe's life. You know, Chloe is the result of the investment of many people who are, some of them probably are no longer here at The Rocks. But because of their investment, You fast forward 10 years later, Chloe is now our youth pastor, making a huge impact in our church, in our community. She's networking with other school chaplains and leaders in this area. I'm telling you, Chloe is going to win the young people in our community for Jesus Christ. And that's because 10 years ago, people sowed into her by creating this safe space, safe environment for her to know Jesus, right? That's why we cannot afford to not resource our vision. We have to build that mezzanine, let me tell you, because we're running out of room. See, I don't care about the mezzanine, but I care about creating spaces for different group of people who are going to meet Jesus for the very first time there in the mezzanine. Our future leaders, our future pastors, they're going to use that space to get to know Jesus and God's purpose for their life. That's what I care about. I don't care about the brick and mortars. That's why we cannot stop with this vision. If you want to be a kingdom builder, you have to see what breaks God's heart and catch His vision. That's number one. Number two, a kingdom builder is committed to God's work personally. When Nehemiah heard the news, he didn't send someone, "Oh, that's bad, man. Okay, let me send someone to help you." No, he took it personally. He took it upon himself to go and leave the comfort of where he was to fix that city, because that city represents God. You see, it took him 51 days to actually go there, go to Jerusalem. Can you imagine? I complained for a 5-hour flight by Virgin, you know, to go to Sydney. A kingdom builder is committed to do God's work personally. Jesus is committed to save humanity from their sin. God did not send some angel with broken wing and, you know, bad tooth to come and save you. He personally took it upon himself to come down and become like one of us. And I'm telling you, I'm so privileged, I'm so proud to be a part of such a committed church. I'm so proud. There's no prouder pastor in the whole state of Western Australia, let me tell you. Some time ago, some anonymous person passed me this envelope. Robin actually passed me, Pastor Daniel, someone gave this envelope, didn't know who. And I felt the envelope, it was heavy, you know, it was really heavy. So it was after church, I just chucked it to the seat of my car. I didn't even look at it until much later. And then finally, I got around to open that thing. And to my surprise, I found this, with a note written on it. And it says this: "My family has visited The Rock several times lately and appreciated your Bible-based messages, which are true to the Scriptures. Thank you. My wife and I also heard your more recent message regarding money and felt that rather than keeping our gold, which we have accumulated through prospecting..." You know how difficult it is to prospect? You have to be in the heat. You know, you just have to spend days and years to get that. You know, that's a gold nugget if you don't know what it is. "And which we were keeping for our retirement, we are better to donate to the Rocks Church to be used toward the building loan repayment." This couple got it. This couple caught the vision of this church. Mike took that gold nugget to Australia Mint. You know how much that gold nugget is worth? We cash it in already. We use it. Rather than paying interest, we use it to repay our loan. It's worth $43,000. $43,000, right? It's amazing. And you should be proud as well that the leaders of this church, they don't only serve you, but they put their money where their mouth is. You know, from about 50 leaders in this church, I asked them to make a pre-commitment before we make a commitment today. And out of what, around 50 cards, they, your leaders, have committed to give a monthly commitment of $184,300 annually and a one-time commitment of $151,200, totaling $335,500. We are well on our way to achieve our 1.5 million target, let me tell you. Give them a hand. Thank you, leaders. Amazing. And that's number two. And finally, number three, a kingdom builder believes that God can do the extraordinary. God can do the extraordinary. You know, when Nehemiah asked the king if he could be freed to go back to Jerusalem, it wasn't proper, It was impolite. In fact, you could get death penalty for speaking to the king without being summoned. So Nehemiah prayed to God, God, please grant me favor because I saw your vision. I caught what's inside your heart. I want to go back to Jerusalem, but God, I have this huge obstacle. I can die right here if I speak to the king. So he prayed to God, and not only did the king set him free, let him go, but the king even resourced him to go back to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, God can do the extraordinary, the impossible even, right? It is impossible for a virgin to conceive, but God can do the extraordinary. It is impossible for a man to walk on water, but God can do the extraordinary. It's impossible to feed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, but God can do the extraordinary. It is probably, some of you think, you're crazy, Pastor Daniel. It's impossible for us to be a church of 5,000 people. You know what that means? If we become a church of 5,000 people, that means we become the largest church here in Perth. But God can do the extraordinary. God can do the extraordinary. The question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do the extraordinary where you are? In your workplace, in your family, in your church, in our community, do you believe that God can do the extraordinary in your life? I want to challenge you, all right? To just see this extraordinary vision from God, it requires extraordinary faith and extraordinary sacrifice from us, all right? We want to see our future pastors, future Chloes in our church to lead this church. I said to you already that I'm dreaming of a church of 5,000 people. We're not there yet, but that's where we're going, you know? And beyond that, I don't know. But the next generation of leaders are probably going to take our church to even higher place. Maybe we're going to have churches all over the world, in Brazil, in Germany, which, by the way, we do have people coming from all over the world to our place and have since gone back to their home countries. You know, who knows, right? Where the next generation of leaders are going to take this church. But it means we need to have the faith and we need to make the sacrifice right now, because otherwise, if we don't, they might not even know about Jesus. All right? So right now, as we close, I want you to imagine with me. All right? This series is called Imagine. This is a good time as we conclude this series to imagine together with me. Right now, just close your eyes wherever you are. Let God speak to you. Imagine with me. Imagine that everyone in our church is a kingdom builder, not just a barn builder. Because God wants to do extraordinary things through you. This vision of God is actually an invitation to us. You know, He can totally do this on His own, but God thinks it's more fun to involve you in it. So God is inviting all of us right now, you and me, to invest in the lives of the people that we haven't even met yet, people who are not even here yet, the Chloes of the future. But if you don't step forward with extraordinary faith, we don't make extraordinary sacrifice today, what would happen to this church? Imagine this with me. That one day, 2 generations from now, The Rocks gathers by the thousands to celebrate 75 years of loving God and loving our community. And they gather around and they're going to tell stories about you, stories about me, how we sacrificially gave that made it possible for them to know Jesus and spread His love. So this morning, church, I'm inviting you, will you give sacrificially? Will you have extraordinary faith to God's vision for our church? I'm telling you, it's going to be well worth it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.